Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. And as we do this, we are today starting off a new series really on discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Why is it important? And what is it really like? Because going to church and being religious is not the same thing as really following Jesus. Like, we know that, right? Like, you can be religious and you can claim to be a Christian and not really follow him and be a disciple. So we're going to see that. And I'm believing that there's going to be an amazing change. And I want to encourage you, if you've ever been to that point, where you're just like, I don't get it. Like, I kind of want to know God, but this is your message. This is your series. This is your chance to really choose and know how to follow after Jesus. So would you just reverence and worship God's word in your heart as I read it out loud? We're in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. That word fulfilled is used over 15 times in the gospel. It's a key concept. What God promised, Jesus fulfills. It says, verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, people who know don't know God, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, change your direction, stop going the way you're going, doing it the way you're doing it, change, right? He's going to say, and follow me, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers. Another theme, Jesus always sees people where they're at. Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. Captain Obvious shows up next, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. 7 days later, immediately they left their nets and followed him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Okay, here we go. Let's start where we are and get to where Jesus wants us to go. Where are we? We're at Super Bowl Sunday. Over 100 million people who have been following a player or a team are going to spend a total of $15 billion today to watch the one they're following bring victory that somehow is going to make their life seem better. The average person is going to spend $81 on the food that their doctor really doesn't want them to eat. 17.5 million people, because they're following someone today, will call in sick tomorrow and not show up to work. They're going to crowd out the world for the sake of who they're following, and their emotional well-being and possibly their marriage are going to be defined by if the one they're following wins. Look, who you follow defines your life. Who you follow, you don't mind spending money you shouldn't spend and doing things you shouldn't do. Because who you follow determines your future. Now, the amazing thing about this is people are going to spend all this money, give up all this time. If the one they follow wins, they are going to have no issue telling everybody else how great that one they follow is. And if the one they follow loses, they will dogmatically blame it on the refs or some meteorological nightmare that somehow twisted the fate of the universe. Because when you follow someone, you focus on them. When you follow somebody, you have, your faith is all about them. Now, the irony of all this is that for these hundreds of millions of us who are going to watch and we have following, if Patrick Mahomes wins or Tom Brady wins or whatever team wins, we're going to give so much to their winning, and their winning is actually going to make no difference in our lives. Whoever wins is going to get an extra $150,000 today. And Patrick isn't calling me up afterwards, offering me some of it. I'm going to spend all my time following someone and their victory, and that victory is going to make no difference in my life. Now, granted, you may get the Patrick price with your State Farm insurance. But besides that, Patrick ain't calling you up after the game sharing how good it is to win. You may be rooting for Tom. Praise the Lord for old athletes who still play and win. But him and Giselle are not coming over your house when you got a marriage problem next week. You know, we could spend all this time following something that doesn't make a difference in what's most important in our life. And here's why: if you're going to celebrate, if you're going to give all you have, you want to give it to Jesus Christ. Here's the great news. Matthew chapter 4, we're told Jesus comes to bring light into darkness. And if there's ever been a time of darkness in our nation, in our community, it's now. And when Jesus wins victory, he shares it with you all the time. See, when you follow him, his victory literally becomes your victory. When you follow him and you're living in darkness and you feel empty and you're like Peter and Andrew, just working, 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 but you're not really living for anything particular. When you start to follow him, your darkness turns into light. And when you feel like you've lived in the shadow of death, and believe me, in our community these days, there are people who are feeling like they're living under the shadow of death. All of a sudden, a hope and a light and a change comes because we follow him. You see, the whole book of Matthew really is summed up in this next slide. It's this issue right here. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is actually a theme of the entire Gospel of Matthew. And these literal words are the most often repeated words, some of the most often repeated words in the whole Gospel. Come. Come. Follow. Fish. These words are the message of Matthew, one of the first followers who used to be a tax collector, had a defeat. He had some money, but he didn't have much else. He was defeated. And then one day, Matthew 9, Jesus saw him where he was at, said, come follow me. And that guy who used to write eviction notices, confiscation notices, and prison orders, now is writing good news for everybody else. Say, hey man, I've got the one you should be following. He's worth your time. So I want to look at these three themes of Matthew. And what we're going to do is throughout the entire series, we're going to be studying the Gospel of Matthew. So the first thing you've got to know, and the reason why it's so important to come to Jesus, is because he heals. This is the other big theme of Matthew. Jesus is always healing somebody. He's always, I want you to hear this though, he's healing someone who's coming to him. That's the key. And if it's not the person who needs to be healed, someone else for that person is coming to him. Important to pay attention to. Look at Matthew 15. It says there that a great crowd came to Jesus, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at Jesus' feet, and guess what he did? He healed them. Look, you and I, we're in a COVID environment. We're very sensitive. Every time you even sneeze or cough, you know, you're not exactly sure what's going on, and the worst thoughts come, and you know, the idea is everybody around you is thinking, it's like, hey, if you're not well, you should go to someone who can heal you. You should find out how you're doing, right? You should come to the doctor. You should go to that place to get that test. It's this idea that when you're not well, you don't sit there and go, man, I'm not well. Hope I get better. Like, that's not the image. The image is, when I need healing, I should go. I should get up. I should put a little motion to the notion that I need to get better. And the beautiful thing of what happens in the Gospel of Matthew is people are always coming to Jesus for healing. Look at Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus saw the crowds sitting down and thinking about they probably should have Jesus help them. When Jesus saw the crowds coming to him, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, look around. There's lots of people who need me. Look, no one can heal you more than Jesus, and no one cares about you more than Jesus. Now look, Jesus loves and cares about you whether you're stuck and sitting or whether you get up and move, but I'm telling you what, when Jesus sees you come to him, he has compassion in a special way in your life. And what we see in Peter and what we see here is that coming to Jesus requires a get up. Like healing, to come to Jesus means I've got to get up from where I am and I got to start moving towards him. And when Jesus sees that my faith and my trust and my hope is moving towards him, he has a special compassion on me. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are burdened, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I can heal you, but you got to come. Look, I love this verse in Matthew 21. And the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. Welcome to the temple. You're online today. You're with God's people. We are the temple of Christ. You're in the temple right now. You don't even need to be able to see Jesus or be able to walk with him for him to heal you. Because that's what that verse says. Nobody, these people aren't seeing Jesus. Is Jesus healing them? Absolutely. These people can't walk with Jesus. They're not doing a very good job following. Does that hinder them from having healing? Nope. Not in God's temple. Look, I want to encourage you. Even if you're online, you're watching, a friend gave you this today, and you're like, I don't even see Jesus. I don't know who he is. Doesn't mean you can't come to him and get healed. That's how good he is. Because see, Jesus, what? Already sees you. He sees where you are. He knows what you need. And the first step in this transformation, this first step of discipleship, is just come to him. Come to him to be healed. He's going to be faithful. So I'm going to ask something right now, and we're in the room, and I love that you guys are taking notes, and online you're watching right now. I'm going to ask you right now, if you need some sort of healing or answer from the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to stand right now. I'm going to ask you to get on up right where you're at. Lord Jesus, we're not waiting. We're immediately coming to you. We're immediately right now in the name of Jesus. Bring healing. Lord, obviously it's a season of this issue of lungs, COVID, infection, breathing. Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, we want to breathe you in. Lord, your breath is going to create breath in our lungs. Your breath, dear God, in us is going to bring healing. Breathe the breath of life. And let those who feel like they're in any shadow of death, any shadow of darkness in any way, dear Lord, right now, we stand up, we get up, we come to you, knowing that when you see us come to you, you have a compassion on us. And Lord, you heal us. And so, Lord, we trust that even in this very simple act right now, in our homes, in your temple right now, whether we see you or not, dear Lord, we're just coming to you right now. We're getting up. And we're just receiving your healing. Spirit of God, I believe right now you're about to do, and you are doing even more than the thing we're asking for. That our physical healing is not even as great as something deeper that right now the Holy Spirit is responding to. We just give you praise, glory, and honor. You see the faith of every person who stood right now. You know the hearts of all your people. Lord, around the country, around all around the world, that together right now. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you just now be seated, rest in that. Hey, church family, Jesus wants to heal. We got a world's dying for healing right now, trying to figure out the answer. Jesus is the answer, right? So here's what I want to do starting on Lent. Lent is a holy season of beginning to really walk with Jesus all the way to the cross and the resurrection. It starts February 17th. Here's what I want us to do. Here's what I feel like the Lord's calling us to do. We're going to do something called Jesus Cares. From the first day of Lent until the last day of Lent, we're going to come to Jesus morning, noon, and night and ask him to heal us. Morning, noon, and night. And what we're going to do is we're going to do it so consistently that the moment a coworker tells us about their child who's sick, or someone mentions someone about COVID, or there's a strain going on and there's a disappointment in the family, we're going to be able to say, you can come to Jesus today. It's not too late. We still have prayer at night. Oh, you can do it. You can do it this morning. You can do it at lunchtime. We're going to say, Lord, if they're not coming to you, we're going to come to you for them during this time. And what does Matthew 7:7 says? Ask, seek, and knock, and keep doing it until when? Till you see what you've been asking, seeking, knocking. So church family, this is what we're going to do. On many of our church leadership, we're going to organize it. It's going to be a Zoom. We're going to have the links on our social media and our website. Every day, Monday through Saturday, in the traditional Lent calendar, they don't count Sunday for that time, because that's a time of celebrating in anticipation of the resurrection. We're going to morning, noon, and night come to Jesus. And we're going to let the whole community know that they can come anytime they want. Can I get an amen for that? It's going to be awesome. We're going to do that together. You're going to hear a lot more about it next Sunday, because it'll start that Wednesday. So we come to Jesus, be healed. If we want to be healed, we got to get up. All right, we got to get up. Little ACT, ION. Action, action. We want action. Okay, heaven's doing that, I'm sure, right now. Okay, number two. All right, here's another action word right now. Follow. You come to Jesus to be healed. You follow Jesus to be transformed. It's very possible to get healed by Jesus and be the same old you. Right? All right, come to Jesus. He's not like all complaining. He's glad you're coming to him, but he's got more plans than just coming to him. It's about following him. We can come to be healed. We follow to be transformed. And that word isn't follow like you're following some player that's, you know, you're not playing some celebrity on social media. That's not that kind of follow. When Matthew uses that word follow, it means this: to closely and completely come after someone in full surrender. I mean, remember that word about like something's got to be broken? Like, not my way, God's way, right? Now, everybody who's had a young kid, you know, you have experienced the power of someone following you to this degree. Remember when your kid was 3 years old and you couldn't even get 5 minutes in the bathroom by yourself? Because that kid followed you wherever you went. Dad, what you doing? Rather not discuss it right now. Kind of like, no, can I come in? No, you can't. Not right now. All right, that's that kind of follow. Jesus did say, if you don't have faith like a child, you can't be in heaven, right? It's like, you got to follow just completely all the time. You know, it's a big difference between being religious and following. This is a disciple right here, right? I love what Francis Chan says. Francis Chan says, the American church has gotten confused. It thinks discipleship is remembering what Jesus has said instead of doing what Jesus has said. See, if you want to be healed, you got to get up. And if you want to be transformed, you got to follow through. Because God knows where he's taking you. Look, here's an example. You know, if my son Caleb, who does take care of his room, but I'm like, hey, Caleb, man, you need to go clean your room. Like, it's all messy. Right? So, okay, Dad. Run into him about half hour later. I said, hey, did you clean your room? He's like, no, but I remember you said, clean my room. Matter of fact, I text a bunch of my friends that you told me to clean my room. Okay, have you cleaned your room? Well, no, but I know the Greek. No, that's not it, all right? The power is not remembering what Dad said. The power is doing it. And we've become Christians, and American Christianity is about knowing what Jesus said, but no one's cleaning the room. Guess what? Still dirty. Still out of order. Look, this is not that complicated. It's about following through. It's about following to transformation. And you and I got to stop picking and choosing where we're following. We got to just decide. He said, I'm going to do it. Now, simple question. Well, I don't understand what it really means to follow Jesus. That's what this series is about. We're going to go over the seven habits according to the Gospel of Matthew. The basic seven habits of a follower of Jesus. So if you want to follow Jesus, not fix your life, improve your life, change your circumstances, make that other person stop. But if you want to follow Jesus, here's what you do. Notice the dates. Next week, Pastor Nidra is going to lead us in learn to be with Jesus. We're going to learn to listen to Jesus. We're going to talk. I can't wait to get to that one. Learn to heal and be part of healing that Jesus has always promised we'd be. Learn to influence. We'll talk about that a little bit. This one, we all think we can do it. Most of us, all of us really. As we heard last week, we need God to do this. Pray. Manage our time, our treasure, our talents, because God's got a plan for our lives. So we're going to do that. We're going to do this. That's what we're dedicating every Sunday to between now and Holy Week. Right here. We're going to learn to do this. And when someone asks you, how are you doing in following Jesus? You don't have to give some mystical answer. You can be like, you know what? I'm learning to listen a little bit more, but I'm not really paying attention. Like, you'll actually have the list. I'm not saying this is not a list to fix your life. This is a list to follow Jesus. Who will do what? Transform your life. Because what did Jesus say to Peter and Andrew? Follow me and I will make you something you're not. You and I need Jesus to make us something, not just give us a little trick and life hack on how to handle something. That's what's going to happen in this. If you want, there are two small groups, men's small group in the early morning starting this Tuesday, and then there's a woman's study on this book. This is kind of the basis of it. That's going to be February 16th. We'd love for you to join. And, I mean, praise the Lord, 586 people in the middle of small groups. We want way more. You know, we want people to do what? Every week, follow through. Don't just tell me what God said, do it. All right, finishes up here. Well, you know what? We're going to come to Jesus to be healed. We're going to follow him to be transformed. Here's an interesting one. We're going to fish to be fulfilled. Remember, that word is so key. So many times, Jesus is showing this idea that, hey, Jesus brings fulfillment. You're finally doing and being what you're always meant to be. Everything God promised and said in his word about who you can be and what you should do, when you follow Jesus, it happens. But it's very clear, according to Matthew 28:19-20, that when you follow him, you're supposed to go and make disciples. So it's about fishing. Now, how many people here are a fisherman? Like, you fish on a regular basis. You know what you're doing. Come on. I know Jen and Braxton are. Okay, good for you. Okay, now let me ask this question. How many of you have ever caught a fish? Oh, wait a minute. You mean I don't have to be a professional fisherman to catch a fish? No, what's the usual story? Someone was with me teaching me this. Here's the deal. Some of us have the gift of evangelism in this amazing way. All of us can help someone know Jesus. Because Jesus is right next to you saying, check it out there. Be patient. Don't pull it back so quick. It's going to take a little time. You're going fishing, not hunting. Stop shooting at them. Yeah. Like, you don't have to. Everybody can catch a fish. And what happens? Every story in Matthew, when someone comes to him, follows him, they end up fishing for him. Because guess what? And don't you love it? Peter is casting a net because he's a fisherman. Jesus comes and says, hey man, your career, you're only a shadow of what it all could be about. That skill you've got, that thing you know how to do, man, you're barely living in the full eternal reason God gave you that. And you want to get fulfilled in life? Your career, your habits, the place you live, the stuff you're going through, you want to like be like, wow, man, learn to fish for Jesus. Because I'm telling you what, you got breath in your lungs for a reason. Now, if you don't believe me, I mean, just ask Matthew, the guy who wrote the book. Here's Matthew. He's what? He's a tax collector. Matthew chapter 9. He's a tax collector. What does he do? What does he spend his life doing? He spends his time helping a king get what that king is due. Probably a little bit more than that. Now, he happens to be doing it for the hated, oppressive Roman government. But he is living in a purpose of like, my job is to help a king get what they're supposed to get. And then he meets Jesus. Let's read it together, starting in Matthew 9. As Jesus was walking along, here's that word again. He saw Matthew exactly where he was at, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew, say it out loud, got up and followed him. Later, Matthew's starting to fish, invited not just Jesus and his disciples, but a whole bunch of people he'd been hanging out with. All the religious people saw this and said, why in the world is Jesus there? Jesus heard it and said, hey, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. By the way, I'm the king of heaven. Here's what this king wants. I want people who don't think they're righteous, but know that they're a sinner. And Matthew goes from helping a secular king get some taxes to the king of kings getting what the king wants, which is you and me. He starts fishing, and everything about his life comes into focus. Oh, this is why I do this. Oh, this is what I'm about. This is how important that is, and this is how important that is. Oh, well, I can make a much easier decision now that I know that. I'm telling you what. Man, you haven't lived until you start fishing for Jesus. And everything, you're confused, you don't know how to make decisions, your priorities, you don't know what to say yes to, no to. Come follow fish. It'll get clear really, really quick. Really quick. So here's what I want to encourage you today. We're going to do communion here in a moment, but let's just start right here. Every week, I'm going to give you one question to ask yourself all week long that'll help you start following Jesus, and then one action. Here's the question all week long. Who am I following right now? When I'm sitting down watching TV, who am I following right now? When I'm on my social media, who am I following right now? Because guess what? You and me, we're always following somebody. I want you to ask this question all week long. Who am I following right now? Write it down a few places. Put it on your phone. Put it on an alarm. Maybe Matthew 4:19, maybe 4:19 p.m. I won't do a.m. on you. Maybe who are you following? Who am I following right now? And then what I want you to do with this, that's the one question I want you to ask all week long. Here's the one action I want you to do. Get up. Who am I following right now? Ooh, that's the wrong person. I'm going to get up and do something else. Who am I following right? Well, yeah. Just get up. Hashtag get up to get up. All right? Let's get up from where we're living. Let's get up from that place of darkness. Let's get up from under that shadow of death. Let's get up and welcome Jesus in. That's what we're calling you to do today. Now, I'm praying and hoping that this great Jesus, that he's speaking to you today. Some of you, I mean, isn't that good news? You don't even have to see him yet, and you can come to him for healing. You come how? Someone, I mean, you're here. We're, you know, I'm kind of the one who sees. I'm like, hey, no, come on. He's right here. But you can see too. Starts right now. So we had a moment of standing for that, but we're just going to have a moment of prayer to say, Lord, I want to start following you. And if you've never done it before, this is just the prayer right here. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to become a follower of Jesus. I receive Jesus into my life right now. I believe he came to pay the price for my sin on the cross. That picture of Jesus on the cross is the picture of every person's life who gives into sin and selfishness and lets it rule their life. That's how your life is going to end up. Your marriage, your job, your mental health, your physical health. Jesus, though, the Bible says that while we were set sinners, Christ came and died for us. He became the curse for us. He said, I'll take your place. So all you have to do is say, Lord, please forgive me for living my own way. I turn away from that life and I turn, that's repent, right? I repent, I turn to follow Jesus from this day forward. With your help, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and help you. God's people are going to help you. At the end of today, if you say yes, we can, and you let us know online here today, we can even give you a follow booklet that starts to begin that walk. It's just the beginning of that this morning. And so we're going to pray that prayer online and here together. So I'm just going to ask you right now to bow your heads. If you've never done it before, the reason why you close your eyes is your way of saying, I'm not going to focus on the world. I'm going to focus what God's saying to me right now. So Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of being able to follow you, to repent and follow you. We place our faith in you right now. And I pray for that person who needs to make this decision that today would be their day. Lord, I've been praying for them all week long. Lord, you told me there was somebody walking in darkness, walking even with a shadow of death over them. You told me that they'd be watching online today or they'd be in our service. And Lord, today was the day a light was going to come into their life, the light they really need. They were going to come up. They were going to get up. They were going to follow and follow through. Lord, they were going to be so transformed. Just even telling somebody about what you did was going to be like fishing for someone new to come to Jesus. So I thank you that online and in this room, they're here. And I ask as they make that decision right now to surrender, Lord, that you would just, Lord, there's not a Super Bowl celebration big enough to describe what you're doing in their life right now. If that's you this morning, you're making that, you've made that decision, you pray that prayer right now, I'm just going to ask you to raise a hand where you are. If you're online, I'm just going to ask you, would you indicate to the host? It's not because you got to follow us. You don't have to become part of this church, but you do need to follow Jesus. And we want to just agree with you and make sure that you're ready. If that's you this morning, if you're ready to turn from being religious and undecided to a fully devoted follower of Jesus, would you just raise your hand right now? Online, would you just indicate to that host, tell a Christian you know? Lord, we're all about you being the one we follow. And we ask now, today you've showed us a few things, you've made us aware, even asking that question, who am I following today? We're starting to realize some things about what we've been doing. And so we're asking right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, according to your love and your work in our lives, like we'll learn about in Matthew 11, Lord, we're going to come to you with our burdens, with our busyness, and you're going to give us rest. We're going to learn from you and be transformed by you. Thank you that you have done this work. It is in us, it is happening, and it's got to be shared with the world. Cause us to be fishers of people. Cause us to say, hey, Jesus cares. Come to him, pray with me. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and honor. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Hey, God's beginning something. I'm telling you what, these next few weeks, get ready. But it's going to be not about remembering what Jesus said. It's going to be about doing it. I promise you, you will not be bored in the next few weeks. You're going to see Jesus come and transform things like never before. And all you got to do is have a childlike faith that says, I just ain't going to leave you alone, Jesus. Wherever you go, I'm following. You do that, you watch Jesus make you into something you've never been before. It's gonna happen, and we're gonna see many, many come. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. Would you just begin to be praying for others and thinking about who you can invite to services and press in these services. Enjoy small groups and drive home safely. God bless you. We absolutely love you. And we're going to do communion. I got so excited. That's probably my favorite moment in church in a long time. That's awesome. I was so excited. Yeah, let's do it. Would you stand? I love it. Make sure you get the foil off the front and just after that, bend that tab so that you can get ready for the, that usually takes a little bit more work. Just take a moment, get ready. Everybody online, hopefully you've got some kind of set that you can use as well. There we go. I'm so glad that coming to Jesus is easier than opening up this communion set. I'm set. I got it. Let's hold the element of the bread. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. As we begin this new time of following, we rededicate ourselves to you by worshiping the gift you gave, thanking you for the cross, for your broken body. Lord, as you were broken, may our wills and our stubbornness be broken. May we surrender fully and give ourselves to the Father's will. We thank you for the body that was broken for us. Would you receive it now with praise in your heart? Thank you, Lord. Now we take this cup, the reminder of forgiveness, the price of forgiveness, the greatest expression of what love does. We thank you for forgiving us and for shedding your blood on the cross for our sins. We take this having said yes to you. We take this, Lord, saying we will follow you and we come to you for every healing we need. We remember that this cup was a sign of the new relationship, a new marriage that we have with you, a commitment that you've made saying you will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, us taking this cup is our response back. I am with you, all that I am. Thank you for forgiving us and giving us new life. May we forgive as we have been forgiven. We receive now in the precious name of Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your name. May his cross and your worship of everything he's done for you make the biggest difference of all. Go and follow him and be blessed.